You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Document title, Judas, the Scapegoat. Shalom, family, and welcome to Eagle Wings Charismatic Ministries International. This week, we continue our covenant journey, moving through the blood, through the fire, and into the redemption story that reaches its fulfillment in Messiah Yeshua. We have walked from Abraham's covenant to the blood on the doorpost in Egypt, to the refining fire of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, who still guides and teaches today. Tonight's teaching goes straight into a weighty theme, scapegoating, how sin gets shifted, how blame gets assigned, and how atonement is pictured in the Torah. Sister Mary Reed brings the message titled, Judas, the Scapegoat, drawing from Leviticus chapter 16, verses 5 through 9, King James Version, the crimson cord imagery connected with Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, King James Version, and the sobering events around the cross found in Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 through 54, King James Version. Stay with us through the whole message, because at the end, Pastor Chris brings a closing word, a pastoral reflection, and an invitational call to anchor our hearts in the blood of the Lamb and the mercy of God. All right, lean in, open your Bible, and let's receive the word. Sister Mary Reed, you have the floor.
Judas, the Scapegoat. Let's begin by quickly recapping the first 3 weeks of this series. We began by discussing the covenant God made with Abraham by going through the blood. We heard about symbolism such as the fire pot in Genesis chapter 15, verse 17, God's presence, and how a fiery flame passed through the split animals as God established his covenant with Abraham. We understood that the flaming torch was Jesus Christ himself. Pastor Chris explained how one went from darkness to light, from Egypt to Zion. Remember going under the blood, the doorpost smeared with the goat's blood, and the Hebrews passing under the blood so the spirit of death passed them by, as written in Exodus chapter 12, verses 7 through 13, King James Version. The blood of the goat set them free from death, and today the blood sets us free. This has been true through history and remains the way of salvation today. Only now we have the perfect, spotless blood, the blood of Christ Jesus. The fire of the Holy Spirit was with Jesus when he himself was baptized by John. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That same fire the Holy Spirit still guides, directs, and teaches us today. His spoken word, known as the Rhema word, brings us through the fire where we are tested, tried, and refined. Glory to God. Remember the scriptures in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 through 20? He corrects and disciplines those whom he loves. Today, as we go through the blood, we pass through that same door as the Hebrews did so many years ago, stepping from bondage into liberty because of Jesus, the Lamb's blood. Jesus as the blood on the doorpost. Jesus is the only door to heaven. There is no other. We studied the importance of the three-string cord atonement for the children. We learned that our marriages are to be a three-string cord with Jesus if we desire them to be righteous and lasting. This personal relationship consists of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and you. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, King James Version, tells us this three-string cord does not easily snap. Our modern-day covenant is me, you, Jesus, and God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's find out why Judas was the scapegoat talked about in the Bible. Leviticus chapter 16, verses 5 through 9, King James Version. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. The scapegoat was sent out with a crimson string around the horns. When the string was bleached by the sun, the sins of the people were forgiven. Today, our sins are forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus' blood washes us white as snow. We are washed clean by the sun, There is an amazing reference in the Talmud concerning the doors of the Second Temple. 40 years before the destruction of the Temple, that is 30 CE, the lot did not come up in the right hand, nor did the crimson stripe become white, nor did the westernmost light burn. And the doors of the Haikal, the holy place of the Temple, opened of their own accord until Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai rebuked them. He said to it, the Temple, "O Haikal, Haikal, why do you alarm yourself? I know full well that you are destined to be destroyed, for Zechariah ben Iddo has already prophesied concerning you." Zechariah chapter 11, verse 1, King James Version. "Open thy doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour thy cedars." Talmud Bavli, Yoma 39. B. It is also important to note that the Talmudic reference is 40 years before the destruction of the Second Temple. The Second Temple was destroyed in 70 CE. The date of this amazing event was 30 CE, which is the exact year that Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, was sacrificed in Jerusalem, and that the massive doors of the temple opened of their own accord. There is also a secular Jewish source that indicates the doors also opened of their own accord. Josephus, The Wars of the Jews 6.5.3. The New Testament indicates that the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 through 54, King James Version. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion, and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." Truly, a miraculous event occurred 40 years before the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. The Talmudic passage above also affirms two other incredible events. After the death of the Messiah, the westernmost light did not continue to burn. The eternal light, the Ner Tamid, no longer burned within the Holy of Holies. The lot failed to come up in the right hand, and the crimson stripe failed to turn white. 40 years before the destruction of the temple, the lot was cast for the Azazel, or the scapegoat, on Yom Kippur. Two goats were selected, and the lot always fell upon the goat on the right hand. After the death of the Messiah, the lot was cast and the goat on the left was selected to carry the sins of the nation into the wilderness. There was a crimson cord tied around the neck of the scapegoat. The cord always turned white, indicating the sins of the nation were forgiven. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, King James Version. "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." The crimson cord stopped turning white 40 years before the destruction of the temple. Yeshua, Jesus, was executed 40 years before the destruction of the temple. The events recorded in the Talmud account for the incredible event that occurred in 30 CE. The dictionary says that a scapegoat is a person or group made to bear the blame for others or to suffer in their place. Chiefly biblical. A goat let loose in the wilderness on Yom Kippur after the high priest symbolically laid the sins of the people on its head. Leviticus 16, 8, 10, 26. We especially see this in some humans today. Think of a spouse that continually blames his wife for all their problems, whether financial, issues at work, and so on. Or the wife blames everything that goes wrong on her husband. Or the parents blame their children, and so on. A scapegoat is used to take on the blame of others. Yes, even the sins of a whole world in the way people talk. Was Judas a scapegoat? Let's see what the word has to say about Judas, and whether he was a scapegoat, a sinner, or both. Matthew chapter 27, verses 3 through 10, King James Version. "Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood.' And they said, 'What is that to us? See thou to that.' And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, 'It is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood.' And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day." Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. Judas is the Greek form of the Hebrew Judah, which means praise. Iscariot most likely means man from Kerioth, a city in the Negev, in the region in Jesus' day called Judea. There are several other theories about this word. If this is true, Judas was the only one of the 12 apostles the scriptures record as not coming from Galilee. Galileans were looked down upon by Judeans. Jesus chose Judas, not the other way around. Jesus knew them, the apostles, before he picked them. Prior to the betrayal, Judas's only recorded sin was stealing from the money box. The other 11 apostles had accounts recorded of sins which included unbelief, lust for position and power, not being mindful of the things of the Spirit but of man, all the disciples leaving him, and Peter denying him 3 times in one night. Judas threw the 30 pieces of silver on the ground in the naos, the holy place, part of the temple. Only a priest entered that part of the temple. Even Jesus only entered the courtyard because he was not from the tribe of Levi. This fact is very important. What is the significance of this? It means that Judas confessed his sin and declared Jesus innocent. All these things happened to fulfill prophecy that the Creator planned to be fulfilled at this time. Most of us who have studied the Bible for any length of time know that Jesus was the Lamb of God, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Those of you who have participated in a Passover ceremony are familiar with the symbolism of the rite and its fulfillment on the tree of crucifixion. We know Jesus, the innocent Lamb, shed his blood for us, so the death angel passes over our house, that is, our life. But many have been shallow in study and have not looked at how the Lamb was determined to be an innocent Lamb. Many have looked to Pontius Pilate as the judge who determined whether Jesus was guilty of death or not. But Jesus had to fulfill the laws of Moses, not the laws of Rome. The Jewish leaders wanted Jesus guilty, not innocent. They did not declare the Lamb innocent. So how was Jesus legally determined to be the innocent Lamb? The answer? Judas. Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 26. King James Version. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, The number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us, and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, Let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed 2, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these 2 thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. As we begin to gather all these pieces together, keep in mind that Judas was predestined, just as Jesus being born at this time was predestined. Jesus chose Judas, knowing his purpose. And prior to Satan entering Judas, his sins were not much different than the other apostles. If covetousness kept people out of heaven, then heaven becomes void of Christians, especially preachers, and that judgment is without mercy for those who show no mercy. Be very careful in how you judge Judas, for as you judge, perhaps so you are judged. This land, the Potter's Field, is located in the Valley of Hinnom, what was called Gehenna, which the King James Version and its sister translations call hell. This blood money, which belonged to Judas, purchased hell. What does that mean? It means Jesus went to hell, Gehenna, and placed our sin there, locked it up, and took the keys. So, was Judas a scapegoat? Did he repent? We know from the word that he threw back the 30 pieces of silver, so most likely he felt guilt. Yet it is not for us to know or judge whether he repented and became redeemed. It is enough to know that our sins were left at the foot of the cross. Glory to God. Give him a praise offering.
With thanks to Sister Reed, we now have a closing word by Pastor Christian J. De Ruyter.
Beloved, when we hear Judas, our emotions rise fast: anger, betrayal, disgust, disappointment. Yet Scripture keeps pressing us toward the deeper question: what does the Holy One reveal about covenant, sacrifice, and the Messiah through even the darkest chapters of the story? The scapegoat of Leviticus chapter 16 is not random religious trivia. It is God painting the pattern of atonement in advance, so that when Yeshua dies in Jerusalem, the faithful see the handwriting of heaven in the blood, in the veil, and in the shaking of the earth. The Father is not improvising, he is fulfilling. So please take note, the word warns against a merciless spirit in us. Judas sinned, no one sanitizes that. Yet the text also confronts our love of easy blame. Put it all on him and let me stay clean. That is not repentance, that is deflection. The cross exposes every one of us. That is why the cleansing promise matters so much. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, King James Version, is not a slogan, it is a covenant invitation. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. In a messianic lens, Yom Kippur and Passover hold hands. The goats, the lots, the crimson cord, the wilderness, and the blood all point beyond themselves. Yeshua is not only the Lamb, he is also the one who carries sin away, the one who opens the way into the presence, the one who brings us from bondage into liberty. The tearing of the veil in Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 through 54, King James Version, proclaims access, God himself opening what man could not open. Stop hiding behind scapegoats, human or spiritual, and step into honest confession before the Lord. Bring your sin to the cross, not your excuses. Bring your bitterness to the cross, not your blame. And when you come, come in faith, because the blood speaks a better word. If you have never surrendered to Messiah, speak to him now. Yeshua, save me, wash me, make me new. And for the believer who feels too far gone, hear this: the same covenant God who brought Israel through the blood brings you through the blood again, into life, into shalom, into the mercy that transforms. Amen and amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.